Breaking news this noon. We have two emergency situations developing in Durham within blocks of each other. First, a gas leak shuts down two blocks. We're looking at live pictures there right now. And a second gas leak causes chaos at a local school. We have live team coverage straight ahead.
Also, new developments in the death of a five-month-old boy in Wilson. The two people who now face charges for the crime.
Also, we're keeping an eye on the nation's capital, where House lawmakers will begin voting any minute now for a new House speaker. We'll bring you the results as soon as they announce them. Back to that breaking news out of Durham. Two separate gas leaks reported within miles of each other. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. The second leak prompted the evacuation of a nearby elementary school. Here's a look at where this is all unfolding. The first leak was reported along North Roxborough Street near Mallard Avenue. That one is capped. The second was reported 2 miles away near Club Boulevard Elementary School. We have team coverage of all this. We begin with WRL's Durham reporter Monica Casey joining us live from that scene. Monica.
The latest information we have from Dominion Energy is that the gas has been shut off to that school and the investigation is ongoing right now. Durham police tell us they responded to Club Boulevard Elementary just after 11 to help with that possible leak. Right now we are near the intersection of Club Boulevard and Acadia Street. You can see this area over here is completely closed off. This borders Northgate Park. It's just north of downtown, and this street is a major thoroughfare to get downtown. Students and staff were evacuated from that elementary school. If you're a parent looking to pick up your child, the reunification point is at Ruby and Northgate Street. Police are asking you to approach that pickup point from the Ruby Street side. Now, this is not the first gas leak we have been at this morning. Ken Smith is in the live center with more information about that first one.
Yeah, Monica, here in the WRL Live Center, that second gas leak happened about 9:45 this morning. Take a look at North Roxborough Street, the video that we just got into our newsroom near Mallard Drive. An evacuation order was issued as a result of that leak. It took Dominion crews about an hour to cap that leak. Now, the gas company says crews digging for construction hit a 2-inch main line. The gas has stopped leaking, and now crews are focused on making repairs, much to the relief of nearby neighbors.
We were lucky that this dog park is right here because the dogs got to run around. They had a better morning than average.
Definitely a good attitude to have considering the disruption to their day. Neighbors, again, are being allowed back into their homes. This section of Roxborough, North Roxborough Street, remains closed right now. We'll continue to monitor this story and bring you any updates in the WRL Live Center.
Thanks for that. We have new charges in the case of a Wilson mother accused of murdering her five-month-old son. Alyssa Kucharski's boyfriend, Taylor Lucas, is now charged as an accessory to the murder of Kucharski's five-month-old son, Ragnar. The child was found dead at Lucas's family home in Lucama, September 28th. WRL's Keenan Willard is outside the Wilson courthouse, where both faced a judge for the first time. Keenan.
And Jeff, just within the last half an hour, we got our hands on these arrest documents. The actual warrant for Alyssa Kucharski in this case for murder, felony child abuse, and concealing or failing to report the death of a child. This document accuses Kucharski of inflicting serious bodily injury and suffocating her five-month-old son. Now, Kucharski was visibly emotional while the judge was reading this document in the courtroom, shaking her head while he described each one of the charges listed in this document. Now, here's everything that led up to this, starting back on September 28th, the date of this actual incident. Kucharski is charged with murder, concealing the death of a child, and felony child abuse. Wilson investigators say that day, September 28th, they were called to a home on Little Rock Church Road in Lucama and found Kucharski's five-month-old son, Ragnar, dead. A search warrant from investigators says Kucharski previously had two other children taken from her custody by Wilson Social Services. Kucharski told deputies at the scene she put the child down for a nap in an outdoor shed behind the home, and when she went back outside to check on him, he was unresponsive. Another person in the courtroom told the same story and is also now being charged for it. WRL interviewed Kucharski's boyfriend, Taylor Lucas, at the scene that day after Ragnar's death. He said after Kucharski found the child, he tried to perform CPR on the boy and then told the mother to call 911. today, court documents say Lucas is charged with accessory to murder after the fact and lying to investigators at the scene about what exactly happened. Wilson investigators say they were called to the home by Wilson Social Services, not by Lucas or Kacharski, and that when deputies arrived, the child had already been dead for some time. Now, no final official cause of death has been listed yet by Wilson investigators or court documents, pending an autopsy being conducted on the body of 5-month-old Ragnar Kacharski. At this point, no bond has been set for Kacharski. Taylor Lucas is facing a $100,000 secured bond. They both took court-appointed attorneys here this morning. Jeff.
Certainly disturbing details coming out of that death. Keenan Willard live outside the Wilson County Courthouse. Keenan, thank you. North Carolina Highway Patrol is investigating a crash involving a car and a school bus. It happened around 7:45 this morning on Cleveland Road in Johnston County. The bus was carrying 25 students and was headed to Swift Creek Middle School when a car rear-ended it. None of the students, staff, or people in the other car were hurt. The bus was able to continue on to school. No word on charges.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, we're following some breaking news. For the first time, we're hearing from the Durham man accused of driving his black Mustang the wrong way during the Hillside High School homecoming parade. This happened over the weekend. Well, in the last half hour, 23-year-old Jerry Brooks spoke with our Chelsea Donovan. This is video of that incident. You can see the black car right there, captured on cell phone video. You can see it driving the wrong way on that street during that homecoming parade. Brooks was the driver of that black Mustang that drove the wrong way, almost hitting some participants, including a Durham City Councilman with whom we spoke a couple of days ago. He told our Chelsea, quote, "I was just trying to make it home." That's about all he would say, since he says this is an open case and didn't want to say any more. Now, earlier, Brooks' father talked with our Chelsea Donovan by phone, calling his son a good young man who was taking classes at Durham Tech. He called this an unfortunate incident. Again, no one was injured in that incident over the weekend. Brooks faces a number of charges, including reckless driving, assault with a deadly weapon, and other crimes. This is a story Chelsea Donovan will continue to work. Look for new reporting starting at 4 right here in WRAL.
Now to the war in Israel, where leaders say they will allow humanitarian aid into southern Gaza, but will stop it if Hamas intervenes. Israel has vowed to wipe out Hamas, the Islamist group that controls Gaza, in response to the October 7th terrorist attacks that killed 1,400 people. At least 3,000 people have been killed in the Gaza Strip since last Saturday. President Biden will head to Israel tomorrow in a show of solidarity as the country prepares for a ground offensive against Hamas. Israeli troops are targeting Hamas hideouts, infrastructure, and command centers. We've also learned from CNN and the Military Times, Marines from Camp Lejeune are being sent to Israel. The Marines are part of the rapid response units. Leaders with the Israeli military say they do not expect Biden's visit to delay any ground invasion of Gaza.
Police in Belgium shot and killed a Tunisian gunman suspected of killing two Swedish soccer fans and injuring a third. The attacker identified himself as a member of the Islamic State and posted a video online claiming responsibility for the attack. But a Belgian federal prosecutor said there was no evidence the attacker had any link to the renewed conflict between Israel and Hamas. The gunman unsuccessfully sought asylum in Belgium in November of 2019 and was living in the country illegally. Investigators believe acts in Sweden against the Quran may be a motive. Here at home, we are working to learn more about a shooting in Clinton that sent one person to Wake Med. It happened on Quail Run Lane Monday night. One person is in custody. We'll make sure to update you both on air and online when we find out more about this investigation.
Today, we will find out if a road project we've been talking about for years will even happen. The Six Forks Road Improvement Project in Raleigh would widen the road north of North Hills to make it less congested and ultimately safer to travel. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains the hefty price tag that could put the brakes on this project.
We've been talking about this widening project for a really long time, but the biggest update we'll get from discussions today is all about the cost. We're on part of that 2-mile stretch that's a part of the widening project right now, but if you take a look at your screen, you'll see a view of the entire widening project from North Hills to Lynn Road. This project is going to be a lot more expensive than what the city originally planned. The original plans for the project were estimated to cost $31.3 million. The new estimate is $119 million. That leaves nearly a $73 million funding gap. Today, we'll find out if moving forward with the project is even an option. The city might be able to make smaller improvements, but the full widening project may not be possible given that hefty price tag. So we'll find out more about how the city is going to move forward when City Council meets this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Raleigh.
Right now, Raleigh City Council members are discussing the future of $275 million worth of parks projects as we look live at Dix Park. City Council is meeting to get an update on construction plans for those projects. They're hearing a request to repurpose two of the existing buildings at Dix Park. WRL's Matt Tallhelm is at that meeting. He'll have an update in our later newscasts.
And we're following some breaking news from Capitol Hill here in the WRL Live Center. I want to take you right now to this live picture inside the U.S. House of Representatives right now. They're holding a roll call to make sure that all the representatives are seated for what will be to make sure that they have a quorum in order to vote for a new Speaker of the House. Now, the Ohio Representative Jim Jordan secured the nomination after House Majority Leader Steve Scalise dropped out of the race. Again, what you're looking at is a roll call to make sure that the U.S. House of Representatives have a quorum in order to go ahead with this vote to elect that new Speaker. Again, that nomination going to Ohio Representative Jim Jordan. Now, he can only lose four Republican votes, but dozens have said that they're unsure if they'll support him. 217 votes are needed to win that gavel. Keep in mind, it took 15 votes for the former Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, to be elected. Again, we're looking to see if they will have a quorum, which they probably will have a quorum. We will continue to monitor this story. When the voting starts, we'll bring you the results during our newscasts here on WRAL.
Ken, thanks. Every day is a great day at the North Carolina State Fair, but today is extra special for our seniors. That's because admission is free for anyone 65 and over. And an added bonus, there was a special Bojangles breakfast. WRL's Brian Schrader just wrapped up his meet and greets at the WRL tent. He joins us live now from the fair. And Brian, we like to say that you're an old soul trapped in a young person's body. So I feel like you're feeling right at home there at the fair today.
These are my people, but these seniors definitely have a lot more energy than I do out here today. They are having a great day at Senior Citizens Day at the State Fair. Of course, there's something for all ages here, including the young, but it is a special day, as you mentioned. Free admission for senior citizens. This morning, they had free breakfast from Bojangles, and they have this fun fest going on. They've got music and all kinds of giveaways. It is a special day out here, and we talked to one fairgoer who really loves Senior Citizen Day.
Every year that we have an opportunity, we try to come to Senior Day because they have a lot of things specially designed for the senior citizens.
They do indeed. Now, if you can't make it to the free admission today for Senior Citizen Day, you want to come tomorrow or another time during the fair. If you're 65 or older, the tickets are $5 for admission into the fairgrounds. Tomorrow is Military Appreciation Day. That's always a big day out here with the parade and all kinds of performances. And, of course, at the WRAL tent, we're happy to meet you. We had a great time. Michelle McConaughey and I met all of our viewers who were out here this morning, and we really enjoyed it. I will say, if you're coming this afternoon and you're going to be in the shade, bring a jacket. It is chilly. Back to you.
Looks like it.
Brian, just trying to keep up with those active seniors out there and all those wonderful viewers by.
Free day for them and $5 every other day. Good deal. Brian, thank you. Next at noon, a North Carolina native is back home, successfully getting out of Israel. Hear her story of how she escaped from a war.
Also, new laws for ghost guns. What the Supreme Court has decided the government can do if you have one.
Plus, looking to fill vacancies in Durham Public Schools, the jobs available, and what the district is doing to fill them. Elizabeth.
And Brian definitely had some great advice. It's beautiful at the state fairgrounds right now with lots of sunshine, but it's cool. I'll show you when we'll start to see our temperature is warming back near normal. Coming up.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Many Americans were in Israel when Hamas carried out its horrific terror attack on Israel. Hundreds returned to the U.S. this weekend on flights to Chicago, New York, New Jersey, and Florida. A Charlotte native was able to make it out of Israel after nearly a week, and Tradisha Woodard shares Maya Caldwell's story.
A surprise attack in Israel sparked terror and left hundreds of bodies lying in the streets.
I know while I was there, some of my teammates, you know, saw some of their friends deceased on the news.
Maya Caldwell, a WNBA player with the Indiana Fever, was one of many who were there when the war started.
My apartment was only like 30 minutes away from what was going on around the Gaza Strip. Sirens were going off and everyone was telling me to get to safety.
Caldwell says she went 45 minutes away to one of her teammates' homes to get to safety and spent another 5 days looking for a way back home.
This laid a little heavy on my mind when you think about, you know, your child being overseas in a different country, and there's nothing you can do about that situation. Now, and that takes you to your knees a whole lot quicker.
They say one flight after another canceled, along with concerns about taking the skies.
I was a little nervous about flying. Once I heard that there were rockets taking off, it was just like, do I want to look out the window or not?
They say though tensions were high, faith was stronger, reassuring them everything would work out.
Her faith is strong, my faith is strong, so I prayed. And I knew that God would bring her back. I had no doubt.
The Caldwells say while they're thankful for Maya's safe return, their hearts are still with those who are fighting and hurting.
We just got to keep in mind other Americans and other people that are still there.
There's people there that I know and care about that are going through it, and they can't leave because that's their home.
That was Tradisha Woodard reporting. Commercial flights remain limited out of the Tel Aviv airport. This morning, the U.S. State Department announced charter flights will continue on a rolling basis through at least Thursday.
We're following more breaking news here in the WRA Live Center. Yet another gas leak just reported within the last few minutes in Durham. I want to take you to this brand new picture that our Durham reporter Monica Casey just sent into the newsroom. This is happening on Hillsborough Road and Rutherford. An entire apartment complex, we're told, being evacuated from this area as a result of this gas leak. And you'll notice a couple of the gas leaks this morning were related to construction. Monica Casey, of course, will be live at 12:30 with an update, but here's what we know so far. This gas leak is happening on Hillsborough Road and Rutherford. An entire apartment complex is being evacuated as we speak. And if you notice in this video, there's some construction going on. And one of the gas leaks earlier was related to a construction company digging and hitting a 2-inch gas main on North Roxborough Street. Again, that has been capped. But this is a third Durham gas leak that we'll be reporting on. Our Durham reporter Monica Casey will be live in just a few minutes with an update.
And as we saw on that map, those gas leaks were just within a few miles of each other. We'll stay on top of that for you. Ken, thank you. Police in Jackson, Mississippi are investigating a deadly shooting on the campus of Jackson State University. Police say Jalen Burns was shot several times. He later died at the hospital. Hundreds of alumni, students, family, and others flooded social media with tributes to the industrial technology from Chicago. The police chief says this is especially hard for him, not only as a chief, but as a father of students at the school as well.
When you send your child to college, you're sending them to get an education, not to lose their life. That's something that, you know, just can't even fathom.
Burns was a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, president of the C100 chapter at JSU, an affiliate of the 100 Black Men of America.
Whether you build it or buy it, a gun is a gun. The Supreme Court says federal gun laws will apply to ghost guns. The weapons can be made from kits that can be bought online. They don't have serial numbers, don't require background checks, and can't be traced. The decision does not prohibit the sale or possession of a ghost gun kit, but it allows the government to enforce compliance with federal gun laws. The U.S. Supreme Court will not hear a case challenging North Carolina's so-called ag-gag law. The law prohibits employees from making undercover video or audio recordings on farms or other workplaces. Representatives from People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals sued. The group claims the law, as it is written, stopped them from investigating animal treatment in research labs. A lower court agreed, saying the law violates the First Amendment when the recordings are made with the intent of gathering news. North Carolina appealed, claiming the law strengthens existing trespassing laws.
I was at the State Fair Friday and Sunday, and now looking at the cameras at the State Fair, it looks so beautiful out there. Elizabeth, I want to go again.
It looks gorgeous, doesn't it? It looks so pretty out there when Brian was showing us what was happening just a few minutes ago. We're looking from the Dorton Arena down through what's typically the sort of the kiddie ride area. Lots of people, almost everybody wearing a jacket or a sweatshirt, even with all that sunshine. Our temperature right now is 64, and we'll only climb into the upper 60s this afternoon. And as Brian was saying, if you're in the shade, it does feel a little bit on the chilly side. But pretty out there. Again, lunchtime temperature right now, 64. And we're looking at our temperature climbing up to 67 this afternoon. We'll drop it down into the 50s before the fair closes for tonight. Right now, it's still in the 50s in Roxboro, looking at 59, 62 Southern Pines, 65 in Goldsboro, 65 degrees in Rocky Mount. So it is it's a cool start out there, but a little bit warmer than it was this time yesterday. In some places, we're anywhere from 3 to 4 degrees warmer than we were at noon yesterday. Around town, looking at 67 in Raleigh, 66 in Durham, and 69 in Fayetteville. So it stays cool today. We had that chilly air mass that rolled in on Sunday, and it's just been parked here ever since. Gradually, we begin to see a shift. We're going to see some warmer air pushing in. It's not going to be a dramatic change, but we'll see temperatures climbing on up into the 70s tomorrow through the end of the week. But by Saturday and Sunday, another push of chilly air starts to work its way in, and our highs will get back down into the 60s. Our normal low is 50 degrees for today, and we were close to that this morning. 48 for tomorrow, 49 for Thursday, 54 on Friday. So not a big change in our mornings, and even our afternoon highs will jump some, but not dramatically. 73 is our normal high, so we're a little below that today. And then 72 Wednesday, 73 on Thursday, and 70 on Friday. We are looking at some slightly cooler temperatures behind Friday's front, and Friday's front is likely to bring us some rain. Once we get past that into next week, we have a good chance of above normal temperatures. Again, that takes us almost to October 31st, almost to Halloween. Probably folks have mixed feelings about that, but if you have a kid in a costume, it's kind of nice not to have to pull out the coats, and maybe that's the way it will go. We'll, be taking a look at that as it gets a little bit closer. Watching Friday's front, right now it looks like it's moving a little faster than it did yesterday. That means we could see some rain during the evening, maybe starting as early as dinner time and then continuing overnight, but ending fairly early on Saturday. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to walk through Futurecast and show you the timeline, at least what we're looking at right now for Friday. Again, it does leave the weekend nice and dry if you're going to be out at the State Fair, and I know a lot of you will. The weather looks nice, but sweatshirt weather.
Elizabeth, thanks. Well, today on our news, starting at 4 or 5 on your side, tackles a question we've all asked ourselves. When you make that big purchase, is it worth it to get the warranty? Kelly Arthur breaks it down for you today on our news at 4.
And Raleigh received a federal grant to teach communities about climate change. Today at 5:30, we'll show you what part of town feels the impact the most and the next steps in that community. Netflix appears to be taking aim at video game industries, the move that it hopes will make the streaming giant the alternative to Sony and Xbox.
Also, women who use chemical hair straighteners have a higher risk of developing certain cancers. Now the FDA is taking action to help keep them healthy. When a proposed ban on products could take effect.
And welcome back as you look live in Wilson, the whirligigs. There are clouds above them, not a lot of breeze in the air to get those in motion, though, as you watch WRL News, available on YouTube and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
Elementary schools that host Scholastic book fairs can now choose to exclude certain books about race and LGBTQ plus characters. Scholastic fairs will now have a separate section for books covering race, gender, and sexual identity. Those titles will be in the Share Every Story, Celebrate Every Voice catalog. The catalog features 64 titles and allows schools to choose which books to include. Schools in all 50 states have ordered books from that catalog. The push by employers to get workers back into the office may be working. A recent survey from the Census Bureau shows fewer than 26% of households still have someone working remotely at least one day a week. That's down from the peak of 37% in early 2021. Employees still desire some form of remote work. Demand for remote jobs is outpacing the number of companies offering them.
Netflix is expanding its test of streaming games to the U.S. The feature lets you play games streamed from the cloud on your computer or TV. It launched last year in the U.K. and Canada. Netflix says it's limited test for now, and there are only two games available. If you have access, you'll have to download a special controller app to play games on your TV. On the web, you can play with a mouse and keyboard. The Great American Eclipse is expected to cross the nation April 8th, 2024, and one airline wants to help you get the best view from the sky. Southwest Airlines says it has three flights that'll give flyers the best chance to see the total eclipse. Two will be leaving from Texas to Pittsburgh and Indianapolis, and the other flight from St. Louis to Houston. Southwest Airlines also has several other flights that it says may cross the path of the eclipse.
Let's take you back now to Durham, where authorities are briefing reporters about the gas leaks that they're seeing around town. Let's listen.
Down, which they did about 3 minutes ago.
And we saw you at the other scene. This seems like the same incident, same size line hit, also construction?
Yes. The last one on North Roxburgh was a 2-inch line done by construction. This was very similar. The difference here is there was residential occupancies really close, so we're a little bit more concerned over making sure we got a really good thorough evacuation. Had a little bit of room over there, so we had enough time and everything because everything's a little bit more spread out for where that accident was. But this one being so close to this to a high rise and a multi-level apartment building, we were a little concerned about gas getting inside the building.
We see a bunch of residents waiting out here. Are you about to give the all clear soon?
Or we are trying to give the all clear. We evacuated, we're estimating about 40 to 50 people, and we are walking through now. The gas has been shut off. Dominion Energy is now trying to do the repair, and we're just walking through the building with our gas meters, making sure we don't have any residual gas. And as soon as that's clear, we will be letting them back in.
And at this morning's first one, there was maybe some work that needed to be done to fix the sidewalk and stuff like that. Was there any digging that had to be done here?
This was all dug by hand because it was a little bit bigger of a construction site. So it was not, they didn't have to dig up in multiple different directions like they did on North Rochester.
Why are we having some of these problems? I mean, it's construction, professional construction.
Yes.
It's not like somebody digging in the backyard.
No, these two today have been backhoe operators digging dirt to do whatever there is when they're building these buildings.
But do they not know the line is there? I mean,
they're supposed to be marked, and from what we can tell, they're all marked. And what's causing the breaks, it's not part of our investigation. That's more for Dominion to investigate those.
Will the street closure, how long will that be?
This one shouldn't be too long because this doesn't involve anything. We just want to make sure Dominion has the ability to fix that line, which it should be a lot quicker here. Unfortunately, they're doing a couple other places across town, and that might be the only delay now is trying to get them over here.
All right. So could you just give us one final recap of just what happened with the line, a 2-inch line?
There was a construction company digging with a backhoe type of equipment. They hit a 2-inch gas line. They ruptured the 2-inch gas line, which caused the gas to escape into the atmosphere. We were called. When we got here, we could hear and smell the gas. We evacuated. We ended up pulling the fire alarm to help evacuate the building. We estimate about 40 to 50 residents were evacuated. It's been about 30 minutes since we evacuated them. We are trying very quickly to get them back into their apartments right now.
And the gas has been shut off?
The gas has been shut off.
And do you have any information about the incident at the school in between this morning?
We did evacuate the school, West Club Boulevard School. We're still. I was there when this one popped off, so I kind of left that one early to come here. I don't know what ended up happening. When I was leaving, we were clearing the building over there, so whatever situation was, it either fixed itself or it had settled, and we're trying to see if we can get again. Dominion's over there too. They're down at North Roxburgh, and now they're going to be here trying to get all those three places back operational.
Are there any concerns with the public right now, or what should people?
All the gas has been shut off, so there is no danger. Again, as long as we don't get any readings in this building, there's nothing here, and they'll be able to do everything they need to do with the gas shut off, make the repairs, and then turn the gas back.
Three of these in one day, have you ever seen that?
Oh yeah, it's not common, but it's not uncommon either.
And is there any reason to believe the school one was constructed?
A
Our news continues now with more breaking news. This time it was about the death of a three-week-old child. Harnett County deputies now saying a father is now charged with the murder of that three-week-old baby, I should say. 22-year-old Noah Bliss was arrested yesterday by Wake Met police officers in Raleigh. Now, 2 weeks ago, Bliss was previously charged with intentional child abuse, inflicting serious bodily injury on that three-week-old child. Now we're told that the child has died. He's now charged with murder. Our Chelsea Donovan is in court. He is in court right now. She's monitoring this story. Look for new reporting and an update on this story starting at 4 right here on WREL.
Ken, thanks. You might have to say goodbye to some hair straightening products soon. The Food and Drug Administration is proposing a ban on certain hair straightening products that contain or release the chemical formaldehyde. Studies have linked frequent use of chemical hair straighteners to a higher risk of developing uterine, breast, and ovarian cancers. Some cosmetologists also say hair straighteners containing the chemicals are unsafe. The FDA says the ban could take effect April 2024. The life-saving COVID-19 drug Paxlovid may soon become less accessible. The drug has been free through government purchases, but that program is ending. The new price hasn't been announced. Medical experts expect it to be priced higher than the $530 per course price by the government. For people using Medicare, Medicaid, or if you're uninsured, the medicine will remain free through next year.
This is National Pharmacy Week, and today, Wake Tech pharmacy students are working to get people on their campus to roll up their sleeves. They're hosting a flu shot clinic today until 2 p.m. It'll be in Building A of the Perry Health Sciences campus. The clinic is for staff, faculty, and students at Wake Tech.
The State Fair isn't just about the rides, games, and food. It's also about helping our community. After the break, we'll talk with organizers about this year's Hunger Relief Day and how you can get something in return for your good deed.
Plus, breaking down barriers in gaming. Sony introduces its first accessible game controller. What players are saying about the new device. We have an update to breaking news we have been covering during this hour. Club Boulevard Elementary School is dismissing at 1:15 today. This is all in response to the gas leak that is right near the school that we've been reporting on since the top of the hour. There are three gas leaks in Durham, keeping them busy over there. Dominion Energy, police, and fire in Durham this noon hour. Club Boulevard Elementary School dismissing at 1:15, so make arrangements.
Back to our State Fair coverage. If you're hoping to attend the fair without having to buy a ticket, this Thursday is your chance. It's Smithfield Foods Hunger Relief Day. Fairgoers can bring 6 cans of food per person to the fair gates in exchange for free admission. It's become one of the largest annual food drives in the state. Joining us now to talk about the special day is Jonathan Toms, Senior Community Development Manager with Smithfield Foods. Jonathan, great to see you. And I love that we're talking about it today. Thursday is Hunger Relief Day. This gives people time to plan for this. And Hunger Relief Day is always one of the most attended days at the fair. Tell our viewers why this day is so important for those in our community.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me this afternoon. You know, we are so excited in the lead up here to the Smithfield Foods Hunger Relief Day at the North Carolina State Fair. And as you mentioned, there's plenty of time to plan ahead as you're doing your grocery shopping for the week, pick up those 6 canned food items to be able to join us for free at the North Carolina State Fair. It's an incredible opportunity to celebrate, you know, all of the great things that are happening both in agriculture here in the state of North Carolina, as well as the wonderful work that Smithfield and our friends in the hunger relief space are doing in the community to really make a difference for those who need it most.
And Jonathan, for those who've never attended before on Hunger Relief Day, when they go to the gates, they'll see the big truck there as you collect all the canned goods. Walk us through that process. What do they have to bring? What can they bring?
Yeah, absolutely. So 6 canned food items, any canned food items of your choice. Of course, there, you know, you want to put the same things that you would put in front of your own family at your dinner table are the types of things you want to bring to the fair. So we ask that you avoid expired foods or heavily dented cans. But vegetables are great, canned proteins are great, and you'll just walk up to the gates of the fair. Volunteers will be there ready and waiting to collect those donations from you, including many of our Smithfield employees as volunteers. And then in exchange, you'll be able to receive admission and head right into the fair. So it's just as easy as buying a ticket, but costs way less and gives you an opportunity to give back at the same time.
It is a win-win deal. And I know you want to collect those canned goods. Do you also accept pasta boxes like mac and cheese or any glass jars?
Yeah, so we like to avoid glass because, of course, you know, as the day goes on, we can run into issues of breakage with things like that. Pasta boxes are fine, but canned food items are really the best, especially those vegetables and canned proteins.
All right. Head to the State Fair and do some good, and that food will go to families who need it in our community. Jonathan Toms with Smithfield Foods. We look forward to seeing you on Thursday. I'll be out there as well that morning. And thanks so much for explaining to us Hunger Relief Day. So folks, look in your pantry or go shopping and go Thursday to the State Fair. Thanks,
Jonathan.
Thanks
so much.
Free admission and Renee. I mean, you get it all Thursday. Members of the WRL staff would also like to meet you while you're at the fair. So this is the schedule. Be sure to stop by the tent. Say hello, Peter Shearwood and Gerald Owens will be out there at our booth from 2 to 3 this afternoon. So it's coming up in just a little while. Then tomorrow morning, you can visit meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner, the main attraction. I'll be out there as well as her sideshow from 10:30 to 11:30. And then you can come back and have a chat with Kat. Kat Campbell and Brett Neese will be out there from 2 until 3 p.m.
And so far this week, we've been getting blue ribbon weather as far as all the sunshine, the blue skies, just a tad on the cool side, but nothing that a jacket won't fix.
Yeah, we saw Brian in the shade and he was a little chilly, and that's just fine. Elizabeth Gardner, now our main attraction here at noon.
Are you trying to get me to buy you lunch tomorrow at the fair?
I'm working.
High praise right here, huh?
Whatever.
I'll talk to you later. Goldsboro is gorgeous this afternoon, looking at sunshine, the big, beautiful, puffy cumulus clouds, Apex looking pretty, Chapel Hill courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and of course our newsroom there in Fayetteville. It looks beautiful all across the area. The next 3 days at the fair look phenomenal. Our temperature this afternoon, 67, tomorrow 72, and Thursday 73. So some pretty weather. And if you're headed to the fair on Friday, the daylight hours look fine. Once we get closer to dinner time, closer to sunset, we're probably going to end up with that potential for some rain. So we're going to be walking through that for sure. We'll jump on ahead and take a look at what's happening right now. We do still have our flow coming out of the north, which is keeping our temperatures in the 60s right now. But the next thing that happens is we see a low that develops to our north and starts to drop in from the north and west. And so that's going to have a cold front associated with it. That front is what will move across our area on Friday. We'll pause it here at 6 a.m. on Friday. We're dry between now and then. During the daylight hours Friday, we're nice and dry. But notice what happens around 6 or 7 o'clock. We start to see some of that rain pushing in from the west. So around dinner time, it may be a bit wet. But it moves out well before sunrise on Saturday. So it looks like Saturday should be rain-free, especially by sunrise. Now, we get into the high-resolution models starting tomorrow. And so that gives us a little bit more definition. We're able to time it out just a little bit better. So make sure that you check in with us again tomorrow as we have that new information to share with you. But for now, it looks like Friday evening, Friday night, about a 50% chance of rain, but it moves out early on Saturday. So keep that in mind as you're making your plans. Not rain, but snow is what we saw yesterday morning up in Bryson City. This is from Explore Bryson City, which is their tourist division there in town. Beautiful fall color and then some snow. Not enough to cause any problems for anybody, but it was absolutely beautiful. Not just Bryson City, which is southwest of Asheville, but all along the highest elevations of the Blue Ridge, we saw some snow. Looking gorgeous. I was up at Grandfather Mountain on Sunday, and the color was absolutely beautiful. We'll zoom in a little bit more from Mount Mitchell northward. We're seeing either high color or peak color. It's starting to peak at Mount Mitchell. But of course, we have so much more of the mountains that are going to be beautiful for the next couple of weeks. A great color at Grandfather Mountain right now, as well as Boone and Blowing Rock. At least another week plus around Boone and Blowing Rock. Mount Mitchell is starting to peak, but in Asheville, you're going to have another 2 weeks of great color there, too. And we take a look at this next system. 80% chance that this develops, but it looks like it's headed right out into the Atlantic and shouldn't cause any problems for anybody. Checking our temperatures, climbing into the 70s for the next couple of days. Then we'll have that front on Friday. Highs will be in the 60s over the weekend.
It's probably the greatest gift that I've been given in a long time.
Sony is introducing a new controller it says will make gaming more inclusive. Hear from accessibility consultants.
As As we wrap things up, let's get an update on the breaking news we've been following throughout this newscast.
Since 9 a.m., there have been three gas leaks reported at three different locations in Durham. All of them led to evacuations. And WRO's Monica Casey and her photographer have been at all three scenes. And we're going to check back in with Monica for an update right now. Monica?
Yeah, Jeff, this is the third gas leak in 4 hours in Durham, and it's the second one that officials say is due to nearby construction. This is the Station 9 apartment building on 9th Street in Durham. 40 to 50 residents were evacuated from here. They were able to go back inside about 10 minutes ago. The Durham Fire Department says the gas is still shut off. In the case of that earlier gas leak at the elementary school, Dominion Energy says they are still investigating the source of that odor. That school is dismissing early at 1:15. Renee and Jeff.
Monica Casey, live in Durham. Monica, thanks. Sony is making gaming more inclusive with the new PlayStation Access controller. The device can rest on a wheelchair or on a table. It also features buttons and thumbsticks with different shapes, sizes, and textures, making it easier for people with disabilities to maneuver when playing their favorite games. The company collaborated with accessibility consultants to create this controller. Sony has been working on the controller since 2018, and it is expected to go on sale December 6th. For $90.
Introducing the one and only Lola, your future furry MVP, most valuable pup. At 2 to 3 years old, weighing in at a delightful 51 pounds, Lola is the perfect mix of adorable and athletic. As you can see, she loves playing soccer. This charismatic gal is believed to be a black mouth cur mix, but she's 100% champion in the hearts of everyone who meets her. She is easygoing, she loves people, sports, and snacks. You can visit redbarnrescue.com to learn more about Lola.
We appreciate you spending time with us this noon. Now go out and enjoy this gorgeous weather. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can also get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Enjoy.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.